Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record Program number 467, titled Fifth Column, Part 4. This has been recorded on July 4th, 2004. There could be perhaps a no more appropriate day on which to record a program like this. This is, of course, Independence Day. It's when America celebrates its birth, basically. And what we're going to be looking at is a series of circumstances that may ultimately lead to its death. We're going to be looking in this program at a fifth column, which underlay the events of September 11th and other things. A fifth column composed of bigwigs in the Republican Party and the Bush administration. A fifth column composed of some of the forces that became allied with the GOP in the Bush administration, courtesy of the oil industry at one level and the economic relationships deriving from that, and also from the Afghan Mujahideen effort in the 1980s, the largest covert operation of the Reagan and Bush administrations, which spawned some of these relationships. Also in that fifth column, in addition to some of the Islamo-fascists associated throughout, by the way, with the Al-Taqwa Network, are also, although we're not going to be dealing with it here, also American and European, quote, neo-unquote Nazis. Those arriving courtesy of organizations like the Aryan Nations, the National Alliance, the National Alliance's German ally, the NPD, the top German neo-Nazi party, and also the Al-Taqwa organization, with Ahmed Huber being a key liaison person between Islamists and neo-Nazis both in the United States and Europe. But we're going to be looking at this fifth column, and we're going to be taking a look once again at the milieu of the Operation Green Quest raids. Those organizations targeted are March 20th of 2002. A brief rundown of the items we're going to be looking at. We're going to begin by taking a look at a truly disturbing article from Salon magazine. This concerns Faisal Gill, who is one of the top intelligence officials in the Homeland Security Department. He's also an individual directly tied to the milieu of the Islamo-fascists, people like Alamoudi, Ala Abdurrahman Alamoudi, the Al-Taqwa Network, and guess how he comes to be in a position as sensitive as the one he's in with those kinds of associations. If you thought Grover Norquist, one of the linchpins of the Republican Party in the Bush administration, you thought right. We're going to be taking a look once again at the P-TECH company, a high-tech company that made sensitive threat assessment software for both the FAA and the Air Force, one of the things that may very well underlie some of the anomalous performance of air defense units on September 11th. We're going to be taking a look at networking that has occurred between P-TECH and organizations like BMI and Yaqub Mirza and his Sterling organization. Both Yaqub Mirza and BMI directly connected to the milieu of the Operation Green Quest raids of 3/20/2002, and beyond that to Al-Qaeda, Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and looming in the background of that, as we've seen, courtesy of people like Ahmed Huber and Youssef Nada, and their mentor, François Genoux, the Underground Reich. Then we're going to take a look at some of BMI's connections. BMI, one of the associations that networked very directly with P-TECH. BMI is not only connected once again to the Al-Taqwa Network and people like Youssef Nada, but also to people like Sami Al-Arian, a professor of computer science at South Florida University, and of all people, Abdullah bin Laden, one of the members of the bin Laden family flown out of the United States in the immediate aftermath of September 11th, and someone who was under active investigation for involvement in terrorism at that time. So bear in mind, you have Abdullah bin Laden, part of a milieu that has networked with a company that makes sensitive threat assessment software for both the FAA and the Air Force. We're going to review Abdullah bin Laden's being flown out of the United States. Then we're going to take a look at Suleiman Biheri, one of the key people involved with the BMI organization, who was alleged by his ex-wife to have been burning papers in the immediate aftermath of September 11th. We're going to take a look at allegations by Daniel Hopsicker, one of the researchers on September 11th, that people from P-TECH had access for a couple of years to FAA documents and that they were actually operating to a certain extent in the basement of FAA headquarters. We're going to take a look at observations by an objective observer about some of the potential dangers of the P-TECH connection and its relationship with both the FAA and the Air Force. We're going to review Air Marshal Ali Mir, the head of the Pakistani Air Force, alleged to have been a collaborator of Osama bin Laden. He died in a suspicious air crash in February of 2003. We're going to review that, and we're also going to take a look at the curricula vitae of some of the people who died in the plane crash with him, specifically a couple of high-ranking Pakistani Air Force officers with backgrounds in, among other things, air controlling functions. And again, if one considers the allegations of Ali Mir's relationship with Osama bin Laden, and also the backgrounds of some of the other people on that plane, and when one considers the PTEC connection, it creates a potentially very sinister association. You take the head of the Pakistani Air Force, people with backgrounds in air controlling, and then you hook them up with an Al-Qaeda and Al-Taqwa-connected software firm that is making threat assessment software for the Air Force and the FAA, and you have a truly sinister brew. We're going to review the investigation into PTEC, how the FBI basically kind of put the damper on PTEC. We're going to take a look at the FBI's conflict with the Customs Department and the Department of Homeland Security over Operation Green Quest, and we're going to take a look at how it was the Operation Green Quest people and not the FBI that conducted the raid on PTEC. Bear in mind, the FBI now headed up by Robert Mueller, who, according to senatorial investigators, was less than vigorous in his pursuit of the BCCI case. The BCCI milieu underlies not only many of the Saudi connections to the events of September 11th and Al-Qaeda, but also underlies the Bush administration. And it was a functionary of the BCCI milieu, former Harkin Energy director and associate of both Georges Bush, Talat Otman, an intimate of Grover Norquist, a director of Norquist's Islamic Institute, who interceded with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill on behalf of the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids. The FBI basically terminated Operation Green Quest as an effective independent investigative body on June 30th of 2003. Coincidentally or otherwise, that also was the precise date on which a Department of Homeland Security official, an ex-CIA guy named Redmond, who was in charge with basically cybersecurity for the Department of Homeland Security, resigned. Whether there's any connection between the date of his resignation, the termination of Operation Green Quest as a formal independent program, and the PTEC connection is anybody's guess, but it is noted here for future reference. So that's what we have on tap for this broadcast. We're going to get right into it. By the way, big, big, big tip of the hat to many listeners who contributed in an invaluable way to this program. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience. This is from Salon Magazine of June 22nd of 2004. This article is by Mary Jacoby. It's titled, How Secure is the Department of Homeland Security? Subtitled, Senior Homeland Security Official Faisal Gill failed to disclose that he worked for an American Muslim leader now in jail on terrorism charges. By the way, that Muslim leader is Abdurrahman Alamoudi, an intimate of Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasruddin, of the Al-Taqwa Network, as we've seen in many programs. Just go to the Spitfire website and do a search on Alamoudi, A-L-A-M-O-U-D-I, and you will locate that. His first name, by the way, is spelled differently in different programs. Again, from Salon 622-2004, article by Mary Jacoby, How Secure is the Department of Homeland Security? By the way, as we get into this, pay particular attention to the wording of some documents that were taken from the home of Sami Al-Arian, the investigation into whom led to the Operation Green Quest raids of 3/20/2002. It specifically alludes to the necessity of Islamists infiltrating American intelligence services in order to basically gain expertise. Again, like I say, fifth column. This article reads in part, The policy director for the Department of Homeland Security's Intelligence Division was briefly removed from his job in March when the Federal Bureau of Investigation discovered he had failed to disclose his association with Abdurrahman Alamoudi, a jailed American Muslim leader. Alamoudi was indicted last year on terrorism-related money laundering charges and now claims to have been part of a plot to assassinate Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Abdullah. After a flurry of interagency meetings, however, Homeland Security decided to leave the policy director, Faisal Gill, in place, according to two government officials with knowledge of the Alamoudi investigation. A White House political appointee with close ties to Republican power broker Grover Norquist and no apparent background in intelligence, Gill has access to top-secret information on the vulnerability of America's seaports, aviation facilities, and nuclear power plants to terrorist attacks. This last sentence, again, because it's a beaut. A White House political appointee with close ties to Republican power broker Grover Norquist and no apparent background in intelligence, Gill has access to top-secret information on the vulnerability of America's seaports, aviation facilities, and nuclear power plants to terrorist attacks. The FBI raised concerns with Homeland Security officials in March after discovering that Gill had failed to list on security clearance documents his work in 2001 with the American Muslim Council, the officials said. The advocacy group, which was controlled by Alamoudi, has been under scrutiny in an investigation of terrorism financing. The lead agent in that investigation works for an arm of Homeland Security. Gill's omission of the information on his standard Form 86 National Security Questionnaire is a potential felony violation. There is no evidence, however, that Gill has taken any action to compromise national security. A Department of Homeland Security spokesman would not comment on Gill or when he was hired, except to say that a, quote, thorough investigation, unquote, by the department's Office of Security found no basis to deny the 32-year-old lawyer a security clearance. Among Gill's political patrons is Grover Norquist, head of Americans for Tax Reform and a key ally of the White House. Gill listed Norquist as a reference on employment documents, the government officials said. Gill also worked in 2001 for a Muslim political outreach organization that Norquist co-founded with a former top aide to Alamoudi. Interrupting, that is the Islamic Institute, one of whose directors was former Harkin Energy Director and Bush ally Talat Otman, who interceded on behalf of the individuals and institutions busted by the Operation Green Quest raids of 3/20/2002. Skipping down. Mark Zaid, a lawyer in private practice in Washington who specializes in security clearance cases, said it would be unusual for an agency to overlook omissions on a security clearance application. Quote, most agencies get really upset and suspicious and act antagonistically toward applicants if they find they withheld information, unquote, he said, adding that a minor violation might be forgiven. But he said if the issue concerned failing to list employment at, quote, a terrorist organization, or one that's being investigated, all sorts of red flags would go up, unquote. Gill's placement in the sensitive intelligence job has alarmed government officials because it fits the operating theory of prosecutors and investigators that Alamoudi was part of a long-term scheme by Islamic extremists to place friendly, if perhaps unwitting, associates in key U.S. government positions, i.e., I would add parenthetically, a fifth column. Now, note the wording of documents that were taken from the home of Sami Al-Arian, a professor of computer science, an intimate of this same milieu, an associate of the Bush White House. Listen closely to the way these documents are worded. A document seized in a 1995 raid of a close Alamoudi friend and political ally, former University of South Florida professor Sami Al-Arian, outlined a plan to, quote, infiltrate the sensitive intelligence agencies or the embassies in order to collect information and build close relationships with the people in charge of these establishments, unquote. The unsigned document, which authorities believe was authored by Al-Arian in part because it was found among his papers, added, quote, we are in the center which leads to the conspiracy. We are in the center which leads the conspiracy against our Islamic world. Our presence in North America gives us a unique opportunity to monitor, explore, and follow up, unquote. It instructed members of the center, unquote, thought to refer to an Islamic think tank that Al-Arian founded, to collect information from those relatives and friends who work in sensitive positions in government, unquote. Al-Arian is in a Florida prison awaiting trial next year on charges he was the North American leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, a group that has targeted Israel with suicide bombings. He denies all the charges, but investigators believe Al-Arian and Al-Amudi were part of a broader political Islamic movement in the United States that connects sympathizers of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Al-Qaeda. This movement, the Muslim Brotherhood, is the umbrella under which terror groups have forged, quote, a significant degree of cooperation and coordination within our borders, unquote, former White House counterterrorism chief Richard Clark told the Senate Banking Committee last year. Again quoting, the common link here is the extremist Muslim Brotherhood. All of these organizations are descendants of the membership and ideology of the Muslim Brothers, unquote. Al-Amudi, for example, has spoken openly of his admiration for the anti-Israeli Hamas, which evolved from a branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Arian's circle of associates, meanwhile, overlaps with members of the Brooklyn, New York precursor to Al-Qaeda that was responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. The ties among Al-Amudi, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Gil help explain why officials are concerned about whether Gil was adequately vetted. These relationships are difficult to understand without immersion in the indictments, court transcripts, and case exhibits. The concerned officials said they fear that busy political operatives in the administration simply do not grasp the national security issues at stake. Parenthetically, I would add that also applies for the vast majority of researchers and people involved in the 9/11 truth movement. They've missed this one completely. Continuing. There's an overall denial in the administration that the agenda being pushed by Norquist might be a problem, unquote, one official said. Again, quoting, it's so absurd that a Grover Norquist person could even be close to something like this. That's really what's so insidious, unquote. And by the way, I would note that this Islamist GOP connection, in my opinion, one of the most important aspects of the September 11th investigation, has been, for all intents and purposes, completely overlooked by the so-called progressive sector. In fact, many of the people, such as Sami Al-Arian, have been hailed as political martyrs, etc. The criticism of this has come from some mainstream sources, some people within the intelligence community, but interestingly enough, the criticism of this insidious connection comes from some conservatives and also from moderate Muslims who've noted not only that the activities of people like Al-Amudi and the AMC are suspicious, but they have also noted, to their great credit, that many of the organizations that have emerged as advocacy organizations for the Muslim community in the United States are not representative of at all of the Muslim community, but rather are extremist groups, no more representative of the average Muslim or Arab than the fascist party in Italy or the Nazi Party in Germany were representative of the average Italian or German. Returning to the Salon article and of the criticism of AMC and these elements by Muslim and Arab sources who were previously involved with them, in 1999, a group of reformers ousted Al-Amudi as AMC executive director amid questions about the group's opaque finances and mysterious Middle Eastern funding sources. Al-Amudi took a position at the Affiliated American Muslim Foundation, but remained in control of the AMC through friendly board members, the reformers said. Quote, I had concerns about the reluctance to reveal information about the finances. They said they're not doing well, that they needed more money, but I looked at their office in Washington and it was very big, said one of the would-be reformers, Ikram Khan, a surgeon in Las Vegas. Khan said he resigned from the AMC board when his friend, Nazir Khaja, a Pakistani-American physician from California who was trying to open the group's books, told him that Al-Amudi was not cooperating. Again quoting, I said, if this is the case, I cannot serve in the group, unquote, and I sent in my resignation letter, Khan said. Skipping down again. Now, the U.S. Justice Department is examining whether Al-Amudi was conspiring with a London group the Saudi government says is linked to Osama bin Laden. Who is Abdurrahman Al-Amudi? We really don't know, one of the concerned government officials said. So how can we say there is not a problem with his former aide? He, Gil, has access to information about all our vulnerabilities, aviation, ports. He knows what is protected and what is not, unquote. Skipping down again, of Norquist and the development of the Islamist GOP connection. Yet some officials remain concerned that Gil apparently enjoys the political protection of Norquist, the architect of the 1994 Republican election sweep that brought Georgia Republican Newt Gingrich to power as House Speaker. Norquist speaks of, quote, crushing, unquote, his political opponents, and dismisses those who don't agree with his anti-tax, anti-government agenda as Bolsheviks, unquote. His power derives from a formidable coalition of evangelical, business, and other conservative groups that he controls to push favored GOP issues, as well as from his close relationship with White House political chief Karl Rove. In 1998, Norquist and a former deputy to Alamoudi at the AMC co-founded the non-profit Islamic Institute as part of a drive to win Muslim voters for Bush in 2000. Alamoudi donated $35,000 to the Institute, records show. Soon, the Islamic Institute, the AMC, and Al-Arian were all working together on a top priority for American Muslims, an end to the use of classified intelligence to jail non-citizens as national security threats. Al-Arian's brother-in-law had been jailed on the basis of such secret evidence linking him to Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Al-Arian lobbied heavily on Capitol Hill to end the practice. In October of 2000, through the efforts of Norquist and Rove, Bush came out against secret evidence in a debate with Al Gore, and the AMC endorsed Bush for president. Al-Arian would later claim that the Muslim votes he rounded up for Bush in Florida helped decide the election. Gill was in the middle of these advocacy efforts. As director of government affairs at Norquist Islamic Institute, Gill lobbied against the use of secret evidence, according to a May 2001 release on the Institute's website. After the September 11, 2001 attacks, Gill was quoted in news articles as a spokesman for the AMC. A Washington Post article from May 2001, meanwhile, identified Gill as a spokesman for the, quote, fledgling, unquote, Taxpayers Alliance of Prince William County, Virginia, which is affiliated with Norquist's Americans for Tax Reform. According to the Post article, Norquist was slated to appear with Gill at an anti-tax rally. More about this fifth column. We're going to take a look now at some of the institutions involved with networking with the PTEC company, one of whose major investors was the Saudi financier Yassin Al-Qadi, an early supporter of Al-Qaeda and alleged to obviously to be a terrorist financer by U.S. authorities and others. What we're going to look at here is the networking between PTEC and between BMI, an organization that has more connections than a switchboard, and also between the Sterling Fund run by Yaqub Mirza. It was Yaqub Mirza who set up the American branch of the Muslim World League, a Saudi government-sponsored charity that has apparently served as a terrorist funding organization in numerous countries. This article is from USA Today. It's called Software Company Tries to Survive Terrorism Investigation. It's an AP story out of Quincy, Massachusetts, and of the relationship between BMI, PTEC, which makes threat assessment software for the Air Force and the FAA, and Yaqub Mirza and others, we read about of some of the breaks that led to BMI's formation. One came from, or led to PTEC's formation, I should say. One came from BMI, a New Jersey company that had leased computer equipment to the pair that introduced PTEC to Sarmony, an investment company backed by Saudi financier Yassin Al-Qadi. Sarmony invested $5 million in PTEC, a quarter of the $20 million PTEC raised from about 50 angel investors. Al-Qadi visited PTEC in 1994, and he and Ziadi, that's the head of PTEC, met several times in Saudi Arabia. So note that roughly 25% of the capital that went to start up PTEC came from Sarmony, and that introduction came courtesy of BMI. More about BMI later. Skipping down again, Al-Qadi's appearance on the list was not the first time his name surfaced in connection with terrorist funding, however. Nor was Al-Qadi the only link between PTEC and groups that have attracted authorities' attention. In a 1998 FBI affidavit, Al-Qadi was said to have provided a loan related to a complex land deal in Chicago that was used to fund Hamas, the Palestinian terrorist group. The loan was instructed to be repaid to Qadi International, care of BMI, the company that introduced PTEC to Sarmony, and, attention, Gamal Ahmed. Ahmed was PTEC's controller for about a year and a half in the mid-1990s. Both BMI and PTEC also employed Hussein Ibrahim, an adjunct professor at Columbia. Skipping down, and more about the networking between PTEC and, in this case, Sterling, controlled by Yaqub Mirza. In March, federal authorities investigating terror funding raided businesses controlled by Sterling Advisory Services, whose chief executive was Yaqub Mirza. Mirza served on a PTEC advisory board. He had been recommended to PTEC by an investor, not Al-Qaeda, Ziadeh said. He took some companies public and understood high tech, and I understood he had a lot of connections in the industry, unquote, Ziadeh said. A six-month background check turned up nothing but praise. PTEC declined to say whether Mirza also invested in PTEC, but papers filed in Virginia and obtained by the Investigative Project, an anti-terrorism think tank, indicate Sterling controlled a company called PTEC Fund LLC, unquote. Skipping down again, until August, PTEC employed Suhail Lahair, listed as an officer at CARE International, a Massachusetts cherry that has reportedly been investigated by authorities for possible financial ties to terrorists. And PTEC still employs Mohammed Mubaid, CARE's treasurer, who donated $360 to the Al-Kifa Refugee Center in Brooklyn, New York, according to a receipt obtained by the Investigative Project. That center was named by federal prosecutors as the center of the conspiracy to bomb the World Trade Center in 1993. A note on the donations receipt reads, "Make checks payable to Dr. Abdullah Azzam." Azzam is believed to have been a mentor of Osama bin Laden. By the way, it's far more than that. Abdullah Azzam was a key member of the Muslim Brotherhood and one of Osama bin Laden's mentors, one of the people who precipitated bin Laden's involvement in the Afghan Mujahideen effort. There's more discussion here. It's mostly commentary, denials, more or less pro forma, there was nothing amiss here. I would add, and I would stress very strongly, that many of the individuals that are involved with some of these organizations may very well be innocent, and with some of the companies, as is the case with some of the Islamic charities used to fund Al-Qaeda, they may also very well be legitimate business enterprises, and that many of the people involved with the companies, like many of the people involved with the charities, are unaware of the sinister side of these otherwise legitimate organizations. But this is a very, very important consideration indeed. Side two, we're going to take a look at some of the fascinating connections of BMI and review Yaqub Mirza and the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids and their connections to the GOP. By the way, I would note that one of the things that's helping to cover up the Islamist GOP connection and this fifth column in the United States is actually a form of racism on the part of many investigators, including and especially people in the so-called progressive sector, who simply cannot imagine that Arabs or Muslims can be involved with high tech, that they can program computers, that they can conduct covert operations, that they can wage war. Well, they can. And in fact, the Arab word for engineer is so close to the Arabic word for the name for the Muslim Brotherhood that often in the Arab world, the Muslim Brothers are known as the engineers. And that's something to think about. Various programs I've done over the years are stocked by a CD duplication service called Spitfire, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email address mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. There will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record 467 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website within a week of the airing of the program. The Spitfire website always has the latest pair of half-hour segments available for download only on Real Audio. Note that the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile is available for download for free on the Spitfire website. There's a search function, and there's a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. There would be no better move a listener could make than to do that. Also be aware that sister station WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only at a longer URL linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website as well. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program 467, Fifth Column, Part 4, being recorded on July 4th of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.